Welcome to Red Alert Radio, grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you. Hosted by your local Labour MPs.
Kia ora koutou, ko Julie Ferry tuku ingoa, ko puki tāpapa puki wiwi te maunga, ko te aonga te awa, ko manako te whanga. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Kia ora, my name's Julie Ferry. I'm the Deputy Chair of the Puke Tāpapa Local Board and one of five Roskill Community Voice Reps on that board of Auckland Council. Also part of the City Vision Centre-Left whānau. And I have a monthly spot on Red Alert Radio, although you might be hearing a little bit more from me at the moment. I'm very keen to get your feedback. You can find me really easily on social media, both Twitter and Facebook. Just search for Julie Ferry. That's spelled F for Fred, A-I-R-E-Y. We also have a Red Alert Radio Facebook page. If you put in Red Alert Radio AKL, you should be able to find us. We'll put up links to podcasts as well as other bits of useful news relevant to our interests and pieces of information about what our hosts are up to. You can get all our past shows on the Red Alert Radio archive on planetaudio.org.nz. And this one will be available online basically right now. Today, I'm doing something a little different from my usual chat about progressive local government. Hopefully just as interesting for listeners as usual, certainly something of great interest to me around children and early childhood education. Before becoming involved in local government work, my day job was on the edges of the education sector, mostly as the union official for thousands of early childhood teachers and support workers in the Upper North Island. That work really opened my eyes to the reality of children as people, now as they are, not vessels waiting to be filled or citizens in waiting, people, citizens, now. As such, I really enjoyed working with the early childhood education sector, as that is at the heart of their work and the curriculum that so much of what they do revolves around. Now, for children under five and a few five-year-olds too, a centre or home-based early childhood education service will be their first experience of learning outside their family. We know that the capacity to learn in those early years is huge. You just have to watch young children in your own life to see what they pick up and how strong their opinions can be even before they start school. The early childhood education sector in Aotearoa New Zealand is quite fragmented and there are lots of different kinds of services. Funding for centre-based has increased hugely in the last 20 years, but much of that in recent years has been focused on lifting participation, more children attending services, rather than making or even retaining quality improvements made in the past. Centres have been facing financial challenges, particularly in the community-based parts of the sector, and more than most in kindergarten. Now, if you have a child or grandchild who attended a kindergarten in Auckland, you may have heard that there are major changes up for how they run. As a bit of an introduction, any early childhood education sector in Aotearoa New Zealand can actually call itself a kindergarten, as the term isn't protected, but the kindergartens we're talking about today are those run by the Auckland Kindergarten Association, over 100 of them in the Greater Auckland area. Until about 10 years ago, most of these kindergartens ran what was called a sessional model, which meant a child would usually come in for several hours, 5 mornings or 3 afternoons a week. In the late 2000s, changes began to have those kindergartens with low roles in the sessional model, so those who in theory couldn't attract enough children to make it financially viable, to run under what was called a school or kindergarten day model, where the children, instead of coming for a morning or an afternoon, attended for around 6 hours a day instead, although some children were still able to come just in the mornings. Over time, most Auckland kindergartens have shifted to run this way, but they have importantly maintained term breaks roughly in line with school terms, as they always have. But now new proposals are to do away with those term breaks, and what some kindergarten supporters see is a major change away from the essence of the kindergarten approach, eliminating some of the important differences between kindergarten and other forms of early childhood education. The flow-on effects of losing the term breaks and shifting to a 7-hour day for the children could undermine the kindergarten approach. This has particularly been an issue of concern at local kindergartens in my area, and I'm joined today to talk about it by Sarah Fleming, who has been chair of the parent committee at Roskill South Kindergarten and supports the Save Our Kindergartens campaign, which you can find online at saveourkindergartens.co.nz. Thanks for joining us today, Sarah.
Thank you, Julie, and kia ora.
Now, first up, tell us a little bit about your experience of kindergarten as a parent. I think you've had three of your own children already go to Roskill South Kindergarten, and you've got another on the waiting list, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So my three oldest children went to Roskill South, and the one little one, she's about to actually start this term, so she's really looking forward to that. Our family have really loved being part of that particular kindergarten. It's got a very strong sense of community, and we've been able to build very deep relationships. And that's actually been incredible for our whole family. We had a teacher-only day recently at school, and I asked the children what they'd like to do, and the first thing they all wanted to do was go to kindy and visit their old kindergarten teachers. So they've built really deep connections there. Our kindergarten teachers are very professional, and they're actually world-leading in a number of research projects, and our head teacher's been all over the world talking about the research that's been done at our kindergarten. So it's been a really fantastic place for us to deepen friendships and find a good support base. And we've had very hard things happen in our community that being part of this kindy has enabled us to really help and support people in our community who've struggled. We had a family whose house burnt down. We've had refugees who've come from war-torn countries, and we've been able to rally around these people and really provide them with some amazing help. So it's been a wonderful, wonderful thing for us.
And I have to say, Roskill South Kindergarten is just up the road from my house, and I had quite a bit to do with them when I worked for the union too. It is a fantastic place, and I know that they've been a centre of excellence and had numerous awards within in New Zealand. I've been very lucky to hear Karen, the head teacher, speak a number of times about the research and that passion and commitment to the children and to child-centred learning and to the kindergarten approach really comes through. So it's glad to
hear, definitely.
Really good to hear firsthand from a parent who's seen that up close. So how do you see kindergarten differing from other forms of early childhood education?
Yeah, well, kindergarten has a community-based approach. So you do get other early childhood centres that have a community base, but by and large, That's what sets kindergarten apart. Historically, it's meant that the local kindergarten has been responsive to the needs of the community that they're in, and they tend to have very stable teaching teams with teachers who are committed to their communities as much as they are to their profession. And it used to be that kindergarten had 100% qualified teachers as one of their points of difference, but that's no longer the case. Kindergartens are also solely free play spaces where that is the predominant teaching method. And they really understand that children's play is their work.
Yeah, and I've seen that firsthand with my own kids too, that how they learn through play and also how tired they are after a day of play, in the same way that I'm tired after a day of work, or the older children are tired after a day of school. So, it's really encouraging to hear parents that recognise that too. So, you know, that attitude with kindergarten of being very focused on the child and the family needs, you know, does differ from what I've seen in some other settings where it is more about, in a way, releasing the parent so that the children are cared for, but not necessarily as much focus on teaching and learning. And that has changed over the last 30 or 40 years in New Zealand. But kindergarten has always been at the cutting edge of that, at the forefront. And it's interesting to recall that ERO, the Education Review Office, their attitude to early childhood education used to be that it was about, when they were assessing kindergartens, it used to be that they would say, okay, this is best practice now that you're doing. How do we then share that with the rest of the sector? and extend you so that the best practice you're doing in 5 years' time becomes the new business as normal for the rest of the sector in 10 years' time and so on and so forth. Kindergarten was seen because it had 100% registered teachers and it had that really strong focus on learning through play and te whariki, that that was where all of those advances were made. And Roskill South Kindergarten's been at the forefront of that too. So with the proposed changes, how do you feel that that threatens those unique characteristics of kindergarten in Auckland? How do you think it may impact on the, you know, the approach of kindergarten and its value to the community?
Well, yeah, there's some real major major changes that are going to happen. One of them that you just actually raise is that children are tired at the end of the term. And so children are going to actually be in care for a lot longer than currently. And if you attend, like, and if you're currently putting your child into an all-day model longer even than a kindergarten day, then that centre that they're in is set up for that long day.
Yeah.
And kindergartens just are not set up for that. They don't generally have spare sleep rooms for children, as an example of how they're not set up. They don't have a structured day that is set up to accommodate for what is really essentially a lot longer. Also on top of that, the CEO has said that this is going to teach children self-regulation skills to be able to manage their own energy levels throughout a day. Oh. But actually what we're seeing with a change from sessional kindy to short, which were the shorter days, to a longer six-hour day, is that children are just not as engaged as they once were. So children used to have a burst for 4 hours in the morning when they were fresh and they were active, and then go home or go to a home-based carer or something like that. And then they would be able to just chill out and relax and wind down for the rest of the day. But this has really changed it so that you do see children in pockets kind of just reading by themselves or just having lots of downtime and lots of quiet time, which you didn't really used to see. And the interesting thing about it is that all of these changes that are being brought in, nobody has said what happened when we moved to the six-hour day. Nobody's looked at it and done some research and said, has this really been a positive effect on our children from what was the traditional model? So you're talking about kindergartens being at the forefront and being cutting edge and research and all of that kind of thing. But I don't really feel like this is an evidence-based approach at all to, you know, to change it this way. The second thing is that teachers are going to lose 900 non-contact hours per annum. So that's going to dramatically affect the time that they have available for planning, for writing learning stories, and for thinking about a child's individual learning disposition and how they're going to get the best out of that child and really do that strategic thinking time. With 900 hours less time to think about that stuff, you can't say that that's not going to be affected in some way. You know, it really is. And teachers are going to be stretched a lot more in order to be able to really still give the high quality that they want to give, because they're really committed and dedicated people. So the other thing is that the breaks for children are going to be one of the biggest changes. Both teachers and children are really tired by the end of term, and there isn't actually any educational benefit for the child in attending in the school holidays. It's purely about money and funding. There isn't anything in any of the communications from the AKA that talks about the children, that talks about the impact that these changes are going to have on them or their education. And I think as parents, that's what's really got us stirred up, is that the teachers are currently going through a collective bargaining process. So they're really being quieted at this moment.
Yeah.
Their voice is not able to be heard because they are bargaining for their own terms and conditions. So who is there to actually advocate for the children? And it's obvious that the AKA are not making these changes for the children. They're making it for a financial funding purpose. So we as parents have said, well, actually, we're going to advocate for our children. And the UN Convention for the Rights of the Child that we as in New Zealand have signed up to, Article 3, it says that adults need to advocate for children and do the best by them that they possibly can. And so, you know, we're just doing what we can to stand up for the kids, really, because they don't have a voice and they are the most vulnerable people in our society.
So one of the changes that you mentioned there was around financials, so money coming in for the Kindergarten Association as a result of this. And for listeners, that's partly because under 20 hours free, you can only get the centre can only get funding to cover 20 hours free for 6 hours a day.
Yeah, that's right.
And so if you extend the day to 7 hours, then you have an ability to charge fees for that seventh hour, which effectively means you're able to charge fees across the whole 7 hours. So how will that have an impact in terms of the fees that parents pay for their children to be able to attend kindergarten?
Yeah, so like you said in your opening thing, back in the olden days, which is actually not that old.
No.
You know, a few years ago, children would attend for 5 mornings a week, and that would be their 20 hours.
Yeah.
Then when they moved to the all-day model, children would attend for, say, 3 days a week, and that would be 18 hours.
Yep.
So if you were attending for 3 days a week under the old model, you could go for free. Under this current proposition, it's going to be a minimum of $735 per annum for those 3 days, which is going to actually put it out of the reach of a lot of families.
Yeah.
To have to find any extra hundreds of dollars for anything is pretty full on. And this 20 hours free was about participation and was about encouraging children into early childhood participation and early childhood education. And I feel like this is actually a policy that is going to go against that in many ways. Now, as Tanya Harvey has said, it's a very complex sector. So in some places you've got equity funding where the parents, if they attend for 80% of their enrolled time, then their entire time is free. It can be for up to 30 hours or something like that. So there's a whole lot of different funding ways that they have massaged it for people who need it. But there are people who are in individual communities who might fall into that category of being vulnerable or being unable to pay for that kind of thing. And those are the people that are really going to fall through the gaps. Also, Tanya Harvey has said in one communication that the parent contribution, which is $1 per hour currently, that is going to maybe optional. Well, it's actually a donation, so you don't have to pay it, which is why kindergarten has been free. But if you were paying the optional donation as well, and you want to go for 3 days, it's actually going to cost you $1,700 a year to go to kindergarten.
Yeah.
I mean, it costs us for all three of our children to go to primary school, it costs $240 a year. And to go to kindergarten for one child would be $1,700 a year. It's just mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Really expensive.
Yeah, and I think probably there'd be people listening who might have their children in not in the kindergarten system, and particularly in private for-profit centres, who will be paying a lot more than that. But that's been one of the key characteristics of kindergarten, is that it has been free, that you have been able to access it when you need to, as opposed to when you can afford it. And
yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And I think also it's really important that there's choice in the sector.
Yep.
It's really important that you have a Barnardo's type system, that you have a Kohangareo type system, that you have daycare that provides care for people who really need 8 hours of eight or more of care for their children because they're working and that's what really suits them. You know, there needs to be a free system and it has to be part of the landscape of what it's early childhood. That's what we're saying. And we're saying that if you lose it, then you're never going to get it back.
Yeah. That's a bit shocking. Terrifying. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what has the response been like from the Auckland Kindergarten Association to the concerns that parents are raising? Do you feel like they're listening? I know you've mentioned Tanya Harvey a couple of times. So for listeners, she's the CEO of the Auckland Kindergarten Association, has been for many years
right.
now. Yeah.
Hmm. Yes, some really interesting things. First of all, the AKA have sent out letters to parents and teachers about the change and to let them know that this change is happening, to let them know that it's going to happen in small tranches, which are geographically bound groups of kindergartens. So it's So it started with a rollout in South Auckland first, and our kindergarten's not going to go till term 3, 2018.
Right.
You are in the tranche. Your tranche is consulted 6 weeks before the change, which means that they basically send out a survey to you 6 weeks before the change and ask you a couple of questions. And if you want to, you can try and arrange a meeting with the AKA to discuss the changes for your kindergarten. And then the idea is that then you talk to them and they hear your concerns, and then they go ahead and put in the changes, and then you can talk back to them about whether or not the changes have made any difference to you, is kind of how it's going so far. So the responses back to parents have been quite varied at the moment, and they're often been quite contradictory. People have written to the CEO and to the review team and supplied them with feedback, and they haven't actually felt that they have been heard.
Right.
Tanya has agreed to meet with some of the families to discuss the changes, but those families that we've spoken to who attended the meetings have come away feeling like this is a foregone conclusion.
Right.
And their individual communities' concerns haven't been listened to. With the six-week consultation, it's actually a six-week consultation before the implementation of the changes. So the changes are still implemented at the end of that 6 weeks, regardless of the consultation. And if Poitchev's anything to go by, their current families are allowed to attend under the current terms, but as soon as those children have gone to school, any new families who attend will actually have to attend under the new model. So it really is a foregone conclusion. And they had to supply major pressure, or apply, sorry, major pressure to the AKA to get that small concession. It's quite challenging. I'm not going to be able to send my children to kindergarten, my last child to kindergarten, for the same length of time that her older siblings went for, just because of the way that the changes have happened. Also, the AKA initially said that this was a change for working families, so that kindergarten was going to be more available to that group of families because they wanted it to be a more inclusive model. But now Tanya Harvey has changed what she said, and she said that this change is actually to allow for flexibility. So under the 20-hour free model, you get 6 hours, the first 6 hours are paid, and then anything subsequent to that you have to pay for as a fee. And what's happening is that Tanya's got parents who are enrolled for the 20 hours, but whose children are not actually turning up for the 20 hours because the parents are dropping them off late and picking them up early. So in order for her to guarantee that 6 hours funding, government funding, she's making us pay for a 7th hour. So that we can have the flexibility to turn up late and pick our kids up early, providing that they are at the centre for the 6 hours in between times.
Right.
But that's nothing to do with working families. You know, that's about a funding issue. That's about how you maximise your 6 hour funding as a centre. It's quite a different issue entirely. And parents weren't consulted and weren't talked to about the fact that they weren't turning up on time and weren't, you know.
And what the implications of that were.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned
a very extreme move.
Yeah. You mentioned that it's being rolled out first in the South Auckland kindergarten. So have any of those changed yet?
Yeah, they have. They have changed, and it's been quite interesting to get feedback from parents that are within those centres. There hasn't been any communication that's been in other languages.
Right.
And we've got a lot of parents who are in those particular centres who don't speak English as a first language.
Yep.
And the communications that have come out are very complicated in the way that they've been worded.
Yes, I remember from my dealings with the association back in the day, it wasn't always very straightforward, particularly if your focus was not on the financial implications for you as a family. I often found that was reasonably well explained, but the rest of what it meant, and I think in a lot of ways that reflects that the CEO comes from a financial background rather than from an education background. So with the South Auckland ones, have they all changed to the new model? Have there been any that have not as a result of community feedback?
No. So there hasn't been any. To my understanding so far, there hasn't been any alteration to the change based on community feedback. also in those South Auckland centres, there's already quite a different model being used based on the needs of some of those communities.
Yep.
Because of the fact that in some of those centres, it's about participation and trying to get more people to be more regular attenders at kindergarten. The interesting thing is that vulnerable communities are right throughout Auckland. It's not just in South Auckland that vulnerable people exist. And one of the real key things that is on my heart at the moment is that people get really displaced, and they, because of the housing problems in Auckland, they have to move more regularly, and then their children are out of school and they're out of early childhood care, and they may or may not be re-enrolled immediately, and they lose time in their education, and they lose that momentum as well of attending, and it's very, very disruptive for kids. And I think one of the beautiful things about kindergarten is it helps build strong community at that early childhood level, and those strong communities support those people right through their schooling. And if you have a breakdown in this type of community approach, it's really going to have lasting societal impacts that we're not talking about, you know. We're talking about the funding and the, you know, but there's actually a much bigger picture going on at play here, I think, as well.
It's that connectedness of communities that builds resilience. You know, I mean, we've seen it in Christchurch in terms of, you know, the communities that have bounced back the best have been those where there's been strong connection. So we're just about out of time, but what next for the Save Our Kindergartens campaign, and how can listeners keep up to date or find out more about it?
Yeah, great. Well, we have got our website that you mentioned earlier, saveourkindergartens.co.nz. There's lots of good steps on there that you can follow. There are places that you can go to email. There is the NZEI have got an Every Child campaign, which is talking about making sure that across the country that the changes that are happening to early childhood are actually responsive to the needs of our communities. We would love people to join the Stop Auckland Kindergarten Changes Facebook page. If people do disagree, we'd love them to write to the board and to the CEO. And this is actually a nationwide issue, because it is something that's happening around the country, not just limited to Auckland. So it's really important that we write to our MPs and we talk to people about what's going on. And I think there's been the Labor Party's put out some fantastic policy this week, or last week, about early childhood. It's really important that we keep the conversation going at a national level, I think, as much as possible. But also, this is really a governance issue. The AKA board have taken their hands off, it seems, and they are not looking at the future direction of what we want kindergarten to look like in the landscape of ECE. And they're handing control of the organisation to the people who are actually tasked with running the day-to-day operations. So the vision for what's going on is really getting lost. And so I think it's really important that individual kindergarten communities make sure that they've got a parent-elected parent representative, and that they as a community get together and talk about how these changes are going to affect them, and make sure that the people who are in their community really understand what the changes mean in the bigger picture, and that they work together as a community to put their voice to this issue, so that the AKA really do hear from individual communities. There's 107 kindergarten communities, and you can't just make a sweeping change that's going to be right for each one of those kindergartens and each one of the needs of those communities. So it's really important that kindergarten communities actually, that the whānau get together and really talk about these issues.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I think you've explained yourself very well, and I do encourage listeners to check out saveourkindergartens.co.nz and also the Facebook page, Stop Auckland Kindergarten Changes. And we'll put some links up to that on our Facebook page as well, so people can find them easily. So it's a timely reminder that you can find us on Facebook, Red Alert Radio AKL. And also you can listen again to this and many of our other interviews on the Planet FM website, planetaudio.org.nz. Ka kite anō. We'll be right back.
Together with your local MP next week at 9:05 a.m. Or listen online anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/RedAlertRadio.